Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about this?
I feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken
care of. It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
Shop Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I'm Jean Marie Laskus. I'm a journalist. I spent my career helping Americans understand the lives of other Americans. Coal miners, gun shop clerks, staffers in the White House mailroom. In my new podcast, Cement City, I tell the story of an entire town. A dying town that you have absolutely no reason to care about. But trust me, you will. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
On Twitter, at Rich Scioli. Instagram, at Scioli Show. Thank you for being here. 3 Mile Island, we're all very familiar with it in Pennsylvania, obviously. We're going to talk about it right now. There's a piece over at National Review. The real 3 Mile Island disaster was shutting it down. Here to talk about it is the author of that piece, Alina Clough. Alina is a fellow at Conserve America. Hello, Alina. Thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. And we can follow you on social media at Cluffalo. I got that right?
Yes, sir, on Twitter.
Cool. I love it. Cluffalo. Talking about 3 Mile Island, for those who don't know, it was a nuclear facility and they had an accident and it shut down, right? So that's basically it in a nutshell.
Totally. So if you've heard of 3 Mile Island before, it probably hasn't been in a very flattering light. It's a facility outside of Harrisburg. It had a partial meltdown in 1979. It's America's largest meltdown ever, and it turned off a lot of people from nuclear power because it felt like this huge disaster in our backyard. Well, that's public perception, at least. What most people don't know is nobody died, there weren't even any injuries, the environment was okay, and the plant actually kept running till 2019. So now there's an enormous amount of computing required by AI technologies, cloud, you name it. So the name of the game is providing reliable, cheap power. So Microsoft, of all companies, is trying to bring it back online. They've just signed a huge deal.
I saw that. And so when you say it's still been running, it wasn't shut down or it was?
It was not shut down.
It was
a partial meltdown, which means that part of the plant got shut down because it had melted down.
Right.
But it was quietly providing even Pennsylvania power until 2019. We only took it off because natural gas and fracking made natural gas so cheap that we didn't need it anymore. It didn't make economic sense at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what a lot of people don't realize is how much nuclear energy really does power the United States. We just don't talk about it because it sounds scary to people.
Well, it does, right? And I'm with you. I love nuclear power. I think it's great. I really do. I'm a big fan. I'd like to see more of it. I think it is the answer. Nuclear, hydrogen. I think all these things are great. But people get scared and they think about meltdowns. They hear about Japan. They think about nuclear waste and where it goes. And there's images of them loading nuclear waste rods into mountains somewhere out west. And then they think about a meltdown. And they think, well, the water is going to be contaminated. The kids are all going to have cancer and everybody's going to grow, I don't know, horns or something like that. So I mean, give us the facts of all that. I mean, what happens after a quote unquote meltdown? And what does that even really mean, Alina?
So, like you said, I mean, when people hear this, they what comes to mind is Chernobyl, right? Like you picture just total desolation. It sounds like, you know, fallout apocalyptic scenario. The reality is a lot more boring. Unlike in the Soviet Union, nuclear plants today have insanely strict safety standards. So on the off chance something does go awry, there's a lot of containment methods to cool down and prevent it from hurting the environment or anything outside of the plant. So, for example, while Chernobyl was exacerbated by emergency protocols that just weren't set up in many scenarios, and they had really poor reactor design. So they had a ton of radiological release into the outside environment, tons of deaths, and they had, you know, problems like you mentioned, like cancer, for years and years afterwards. The containment structures for Three Mile Island effectively just kept things contained. I mean, it's in their name. It's what they're supposed to do. So they prevent that radiological release from going outside the plant, and things kind of just shelter in place effectively.
Pretty amazing. Pretty remarkable. So people really shouldn't be afraid of nuclear power. And yet after that happened, it obviously there were a lot of people that, you know, they were anti-nuclear and they came out against it. But I think really what it is a lot of people that just want solar power and they want windmills and they don't want nuclear power because they only want, quote unquote, green energy. So they make nuclear the bad guy, just like they do with natural gas, too, even though it's clean burning and everything like that. But they'll use things like this to push the idea that it's scary so they can drive people towards solar panels and windmills. Am I off on that analysis?
I think there's definitely a lot of environmentalists who do that. And it's a real shame, especially with things like nuclear and natural gas. What a lot of people don't know is that the major reason that the U.S. has been able to reduce its emissions is actually from switching from coal to natural gas. It's not that we just magically started powering everything with solar and wind, although that would be super convenient. Natural gas is just a lot cleaner than the other fossil fuels that we've been using. Same with nuclear. Nuclear is actually emission-free. People don't like to think of it as green energy because it's not renewable, right? We need uranium to power it. But it is completely emission-free. It's clean energy. I think it kind of depends which generation you're talking about, what people are pushing back on. I think if you ask, you know, your grandparents, they much more have the idea of nuclear equals nuclear bomb. And so it sounds freakier in that way. But certainly for younger generations, I think a lot of people are sold the idea that we can just switch to solar and wind. And it's just not the case. Yeah. Case in point, the reason that Microsoft is doing this is because they have a commitment to net zero. What that means is that their bottom line, they have to make sure that they are carbon neutral as a company. They know that that's never going to happen from solar and wind. But what they've been doing for the past couple of years is operating with a large amount of natural gas, and then they'll offset that by investing in solar and wind in other states that probably aren't actually keeping their lights on. I mean, who wants a data center that's only powered when the sun's up, right? So they're switching to nuclear, or they are embracing nuclear, because they know that the math just doesn't cut it when you're trying to make all these offsets with solar and wind. They need some way of having power that is both reliable and emission-free, and that's where nuclear really shines.
I mean, that's amazing, right? So Microsoft gets to say we're net zero because nuclear is zero emissions, and they'll get the power that they need because they need the power. But there's some hurdles, though, and that's where we get into the R word, of course, regulators. And you write about that in your piece at National Review, which I think is important to talk about, Alina Clough. Talk to me about that. Where do the regulators come in? Where are the anti-nuclear people right now? Is this deal going to happen? I mean, it's a huge one, but what could potentially stand in the way?
So what's absolutely tragic about clean energy projects in general, and this is not just for nuclear, is that even things like solar and wind get held up all the time because of the permitting process and just the insane amount of red tape that's blocking them from actually getting to their finish line, to actually being able to provide us power. A lot of people, when you ask them, like, what's holding up all of our clean energy projects, they'll throw out things. They'll say the Republicans are holding it up or there's not enough market demand. And honestly, none of that's as true as that regulations themselves are holding it up. Is basically illegal to build these things quickly. And so investors just take their money elsewhere. I mean, I know I would. Mm-hmm. Similarly, I mean, nuclear has more regulations than just about anything, and in part because people are so afraid of it. Governor Shapiro has penned at least a public letter trying to fast-track this, pass the regulations. One of the pluses is that it's kind of already made it past before. This isn't a new plant that they're starting up. So it's somewhat encouraging, fingers crossed, that they're able to at least skip to the front of the queue. But unfortunately, yeah, that is the main thing that could hold it up. And it's kind of a tragedy because you have these huge data centers, you have these huge AI warehouses that could really be bringing tons to the economy, tons to Pennsylvania especially. And the fact that what's standing between clean energy and the project just completely failing is regulations that we really write into our own way. It's honestly ironic that a lot of the people pushing the most for clean energy are the ones who most support all of the different regulations to be slowing it down.
The one reactor at Three Mile Island that was shut down, the reactor number one, unit one reactor. And, you know, as I'm reading the piece here, that's going to be restarted. And so I think the point is it could have been restarted a long time ago. So was it just politics that kept it from being restarted? Was it just the fact that people just mentally weren't ready for that to come back online? Because inevitably the stories would be Three Mile Island is coming back online, although it was online, right? So that's the thing. I mean, it was online, but when the story came out, for people that live up there, they go, but it's always been online. I don't understand. For people that live outside of it, they go, oh, my God, this nuclear reactor is going to be turned back on as if it was, you know, sitting dormant or something like that. Right. And they just go over with a big giant switch. So the Unit 1 reactor at Three Mile Island, which is going to come back online as part of this with Constellation Energy and Microsoft in this deal, it really could have been back online in like 1980, right?
So Unit 1, I believe, is not the one that actually melted down. That's the one that was shut down in 2019.
Okay.
But the reason it was taken offline wasn't actually because of public pushback. It's that nuclear energy is running all the time, which is good in a lot of situations. It's baseload power, right? It's just kind of on 100% of the time. But what it doesn't have is what natural gas has, which is the ability to be variable. Natural gas honestly just knocks a lot of things out of the park as far as its versatility, and Pennsylvania has a ton of it, especially with the fracking boom. Natural gas was literally just too cheap and too flexible for anything else to, you know, make a drop in the bucket. So it didn't get shut down because people were afraid of it. It got shut down because it wasn't as cheap and as flexible as natural gas. It does beat out just about everything else, however, and honestly, a lot of the use cases that Microsoft and a lot of these other tech giants need it for requires a lot of that baseload power. You know, data centers are always online.
Yeah.
The internet always needs to be running. I mean, cloud, crypto, you name it. These sorts of things are really taking that baseload power, and they require it to just kind of be always on. So it's a perfect use case for that.
I would also think, too, I mean, we have a lot of nuclear-powered submarines, don't we, Alina? And the people are on those things, and they live on those things
totally.
For 6 months out of the year as they're, you know, sailing around the world. And we never, ever, ever hear about disasters on nuclear-powered submarines. I mean, I don't think there's ever been one, as far as I know. I mean, maybe. I don't know. I've never heard of that before. But that's a great example, right?
It's a great example.
Yeah.
And it's a great point because I think if you've ever talked to somebody who's worked on one of those submarines, they're super pro-nuclear power. Why? Because they lived underwater with it for 6 months at a time, and they realize that it's pretty safe. A lot of the people living right next to the plant have the same opinion of it. Something like 88% of people living within near proximity to a nuclear plant have a high opinion of nuclear energy. It's more the people who live far away from it who think that we don't currently use nuclear energy that are able to fearmonger about it and get freaked out. But people who actually are close on the ground to it recognize that it's kind of just quietly powering your house, and it's hard to have a problem with that.
And you get into the NIMBY problem, right? Not in my backyard. So then if they want to build a new one, how do they go about doing that? Because I'm with you. I mean, I love it. I want to see more of them. I would live by one. I'd have no problem with it. I'm not afraid of it. But you'd have activists coming out and screaming about the water. I mean, you get that with fracking, right? I mean, somebody made a comment to me today. They said that where there's fracking, there's no drinkable water. I mean, the nonsense claims that are made, you know. So how do you go about then if you want to create another nuclear reactor, another nuclear facility? How do you get past the winning over the public approval part of it? Because the 88% that live there now, they're cool with it. But if you say we're going to build one in this area, I imagine people are going to be coming out to the planning board meetings with pitchforks, right?
Totally. And what I think always sells, or at least what would sell me, is the fact that the power can get so much cheaper. I mean, money talks. It's really nice to say that you have a huge problem with nuclear energy until you see how much money it can save you. Same with natural gas. I mean, yeah. I think a lot of people are very excited when they see what it does for their energy bills. They were able to start up a new plant in Georgia, which is the first one in decades in the U.S. That was earlier this year. I think that they actually had like the launch party per se. And that one's pretty exciting. I think, unfortunately, we're not seeing a ton of new nuclear plants because of, honestly, a lot of buy-in, especially from the government. But what I think is really exciting is the fact that this is a private partnership and you kind of have this market-driven innovation. Microsoft leading the way and other Silicon Valley companies who are probably going to wake up a lot faster than the government will and go, you know what, I really don't care. We need this, period. I think are probably going to be driving even just marketing that. I mean, we all know that private industry does a lot better job at marketing and advertisement, and I'm pretty confident that they'll be able to win people over with not just cheaper energy. I mean, cheaper energy makes everything cheaper, right? I mean, this is going to affect how cheap your internet is and how cheap your digital services are. Anything relying on AI will get cheaper if the energy powering it is. But ultimately, I think that this is really just an exciting moment for changing the narrative on nuclear. I think once you have brands that people trust, things like Microsoft, any other tech giants kind of coming into the picture, that's exciting. But there's also tons of nuclear facilities that we've just shut down for zero reason. California's got a ton of them, obviously, no surprise to anybody. So there's plenty of nuclear facilities that are perfectly good that are just sitting there that we could bring back online. And I think those are probably the even quicker opportunities, just like Three Mile Island.
Yeah, that's okay. So that's the other part that I was going to say, which is how many are not being used right now and why are they not being used? And is that political? Is that because in California you get all the crunchies out there that are like, oh, no, no, no nuclear? And is that because that makes no sense to me if you're just not using that energy and the capacity's there. And yet we're going to build these gigantic monstrosity wind turbines off the coast of Jersey that are killing whales and dolphins and are going to be ugly and hideous. And by the way, not nearly as efficient in providing power as nuclear. So is it a political thing in that sense of why they've shut down or why they're not being restarted? I'm guessing yes, right?
Some of it's political, some of it's economic, and some of it's just that a couple of them are old plants. But I would say that the reason that we see a brand new plant in Georgia and the reason that we see a ton of decommissioned plants in California is very much political. You see this kind of on the international level as well. Germany has been bragging about shutting its nuclear power down, which makes zero sense because they can barely keep the lights on now that they're having issues with Russia. But they genuinely celebrate it. They think that it's some form of environmental progress, which couldn't be further from the truth, unfortunately. Meanwhile, France is powered something like 90% by nuclear energy, precisely because they prioritize it. And they even recycle their spent nuclear fuel, which I don't think a lot of people know about. A lot of people think that there's just going to be all this nuclear waste. And not only is it super space efficient, but if we made it legal, it's currently not legal to do this, we can reuse that spent nuclear fuel. It maintains most of its power. So there are, unfortunately, just a lot of avenues for political pushback against this. I'm hoping that especially as younger generations kind of wake up to this, I mean, you know, I'm in my 20s, we weren't really raised with nuclear bomb drills or anything like our grandparents. And we do care about having reliable power and we do care about the environment. So I think that it's going to be more politically in vogue and you're not going to have all these, you know, boomer environmentalists who think that they're extra crunchy for opposing, honestly, what could be our saving grace in the environmental game.
Yeah, the only thing I'm going to add to that, though, is that the Toxic Avenger, which is a Jersey superhero who like fell into nuclear waste and became a superhero, they're remaking that with Peter Dinklage. I don't know how much propaganda is going to be in that. That's the only cautionary tale I would say, is that we got to be on the watch for that because it's toxic waste, not necessarily nuclear waste. But they may make it that way. So we'll have to see. We'll keep our eyes on that one, the Toxic Avenger, because Jersey's got to ruin everything. All right, Alina, we'll keep our eyes on that. Hey, this was great. I learned a lot. I enjoyed learning about this and right in our backyard, but so much we didn't even realize. Thank you, Alina Clough. Follow her on X at Cluffalo, and we'll put a link to the piece. The real Three Mile Island disaster was shutting it down. Thanks for joining me here. It was really great.
Thank you so much for having me. This is awesome.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Yeah, the Toxic Avenger. That's right. Jersey. Not to be confused with Swamp Thing. That guy wasn't Jersey, but this is 1984. He fell into some toxic waste, goo, and apparently they're remaking this. It's a cult classic, by the way. Toxic Avenger, if you haven't seen it. I don't know if it's out. Maybe it's out. I don't know. It's possible. Maybe they've... The article that I have was from 2023, so maybe it's out, The Toxic Avenger. DeSantis, do some research on that for me, will you? See if they remade that. I'm curious if they made it into an anti-nuclear propaganda film. You never know. Dinklage is probably a lefty like all of them are.
Yeah, it came out September 21st last year.
Oh, and nobody cared. The guy didn't even hear a thing about it. Nobody cared.
Not a single peep.
All right. So if that was their attempt, they failed. Also, you don't need to remake movies like The Toxic Avenger. Let them be the horrible cult classics that they were. Horrible in a good way. Bad in a good way. Good bad. You know what I mean? That's what I'm talking about. Back in the day, you go to Blockbuster, have to pay a fine because you didn't rewind the movie. Bring back The Toxic Avenger late. Winds up costing you $18 to watch that piece of crap. You know what I mean? Those are the good old days. All right, so we got Elizabeth Pipko joining us at 4:30. She is definitely a superhero. And she was in a story about beautiful conservative women. So we're going to talk about that as well as the show progresses. I want to play a clip for you, though, real quick. And this is it. We got the federal government right now talking about Helene and what's going on, the impact in North Carolina. And Trump is down in Georgia. He went down to Georgia to talk about this. And he's on the ground right now in Valdosta, Georgia. I want to play for you a couple clips of what the president said, former and future President Trump. We are back streaming live on YouTube, I believe, which is great. Excellent. Good stuff. We're also going to preview, as the show goes on today, the vice presidential debate, which is tomorrow night between Tim Walz and J.D. Vance. We'll talk about that. Thursday night, big debate between the lesser Casey and why am I having like something in my throat right now? Dave McCormick. Excuse me. All right, I'm better. So we'll preview that debate as well. I mean, obviously, McCormick's been on the show a few times. He's a good friend, and I think he's going to give it to the lesser Casey. I'm excited for that debate as well. But here's Trump down on the ground in Georgia, cut number one.
Being responsive. The federal government is not being responsive. But they're having a very hard time getting the president on the phone. He won't get on, and of course, the vice president, she's out someplace campaigning, looking for money. So they got to be... Governor's doing a good job, but he's having a hard time getting the president on the phone. They're being very non-responsive. We're also going to be going and talking with North Carolina. We're trying to get them hooked up with communication. They're totally closed right now. North Carolina has really been hit hard. Really, really been hit hard. The hardest. And we can't even get in there right now. And there are a lot of people that have been injured or worse. Very bad.
Trump also said, and this is really important, the people on the ground are doing the best they can in every challenging circumstance. They do need some help from the federal government. Take a listen. I think it's one of the new
people
cuts,
on
Matt.
The ground are doing the best they can in every challenging circumstances. We do need some help from the federal government. They have to get together, ideally with the governor. That governor needs to... He's been trying to get them, and I'm sure they're going to come through. But he's been calling. The president hasn't been able to get him. But they'll come through, I'm sure. And Georgia and North Carolina need the help, probably worst of all. But North Carolina has really been hit. They have really been hit. Nope, they say nobody's seen anything like that at all. Every part of these communities has been affected by this brutal storm, and countless Georgia cotton and pecan farmers. The farmers have been affected, Kelly, very, very badly, very, very badly. And I love those farmers, and we're going to take care of the farmers. There's no question about it. Their crops and their livelihoods have been so badly affected. Swift actions needed to get the farmers access to loans and disaster recovery aid to help them quickly get back on their feet so they can help our nation prosper. I always support our great farmers and agricultural communities, and just go out. I know that the help is going to be there, and help will soon be on its way. There's
Where the hell is Biden? You know, I mean, they beat the hell out of George W. Bush over his response to Katrina. Biden is still in the White House. Yeah, I mean, he's nowhere to be found. And this is part of the problem right now. And he said he's been on the phone the whole time. And there's a clip of Biden saying that. This reporter asked him why he wasn't there to manage the hurricane relief because he was in Delaware. And he went back to his beach house over the weekend, went down to his friggin' beach house. The guy cannot get away from the beach. It is amazing to me. Cut three.
Do you expect Iran to retaliate?
On the hurricane, Mr. President, why weren't you and Vice President Harris here in Washington commanding this weekend?
I was commanding. I was on the phone for at least 2 hours yesterday and the day before as well. I command. It's called a telephone. Is it all my security people?
Is it not important for the to see?
Yeah, he was on the phone. He was on the phone commanding everything. And Trump made a little slap at him, too. He said, I haven't spoken to him. Cut two.
And have you reached out to President Biden about federal relief efforts?
No, I haven't reached out to him. No, I think he's sleeping right now, actually.
I think he's sleeping right now. And he was asked about the point that, you know, they're in the middle of this campaign, but final weeks, but they got to take some time off here to deal with this. Because it's so bad. I mean, it's a horrific storm. The death toll is mounting. It's a really, really bad situation in Georgia, particularly. I mean, North Carolina is getting pummeled here from Helene. Take a listen.
As you know, our country is in the final weeks of a hard-fought national election. But in a time like this, when a crisis hits, when our fellow citizens cry out in need, none of that matters. We're not talking about politics now. We have to all get together and get this solved. We need a lot of help. They have to have a lot of help down here. We look out for one another. We pull together. We pitch in. We persevere, and we pull it through. That is really the American spirit. That's what made America originally great. And that's why today I've come to Valdosta with large semi-trucks, many of them, filled with relief aid and a tanker truck filled up with gasoline. We have a couple of the big tanker trucks filled up with gasoline, which they can't get now. And we'll be working to distribute it throughout the day. And I want to thank again Franklin Graham and everyone at Samaritan's Purse. You people are fantastic, by the way. Just fantastic. And people appreciate you very much.
All right. Elizabeth Pipko is going to join me next. She is the spokeswoman for the Republican National Committee. And we'll have that chat. Going to preview the debate for tomorrow night. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. So we are streaming live on YouTube. 855-839-1210 is the number. Don't go away.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken care of. It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
Shop Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I'm Jean Marie Laskus. I'm a journalist. I spent my career helping Americans understand the lives of other Americans. Coal miners, gun shop clerks, staffers in the White House mailroom. In my new podcast, Cement City, I tell the story of an entire town. A dying town that you have absolutely no reason to care about. But trust me, you will. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
This is a big deal. I love this. This is great. It is the day before the vice presidential debate. We got a lot to preview, and I'm so excited to welcome back to the show my guest. She's awesome. She's a big star. She's regularly on Fox News Saturday Night with Jimmy Failla. She's the Republican National Committee spokeswoman. She's a model. She's Elizabeth Pipko. Hello, Elizabeth. Welcome back. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. I may be seeing you soon, by the way, just so you know, in person again, which would be cool because we hung out together at the RNC, as you remember, in person, which was great. That was a lot of fun. I may be seeing you in person again soon. But in the meantime, how are you enjoying being the spokeswoman for the RNC these days?
Look, I don't want to get too sappy because we have, you know, 37 or so days left, and I get a lot of tears backed up already.
Yeah.
But I am the daughter of immigrants, right? And I'm sitting here as the spokeswoman for one of two major political parties in this country. I am every day honored by the responsibility and what that means, and I hope to a lot of people, regardless of where you stand politically, it means a lot, and it shows them that you can do anything in this country if you work hard, because if my parents did not give up everything to come here and work as hard as they did so I could have the life that I have, none of this would be real. None of this would be my reality, but it is. So I am blessed every single day, and there's lots of challenges, but it means so much to me. And I hope to others who realize what that shows you can do in the United States of America.
And that's why you wrote your book, Finding My Place, Making My Parents' American Dream Come True, which is a great book, and I highly recommend it. Follow Elizabeth, by the way, on social media, at Elizabeth Pipko. All right, big debate tomorrow night. J.D. Vance, Tim Walz. I just saw a story that came out just a few moments ago that the House Oversight Committee Chairman Jim Comer has subpoenaed Alejandro Mayorkas for information on Tim Walz and China. Walz is all in on China. In 2014, he claimed during a congressional hearing that he was in Hong Kong in 1989 during Tiananmen Square. But local news reports from the time, however, show that Walz was actually back home in Nebraska. So he's exaggerating even that, Elizabeth Pipko. But we know the guy loves China. We know that.
We certainly do. And look, I think that should be investigated, obviously, just because the American people deserve answers. And if there's nothing to be found there, I would hope that Tim Walz and everyone else would be fine with those questions and hopefully answers. I just think what people should pay attention to is the contrast with how this is being reported, right? Because I still, to this day, hear about Donald Trump and Russia. To this day, 8 years later, after we know for a fact there was nothing going on there, and no one's hearing about Tim Walz in China. So I want people to understand the news media that they pay attention to every single day might not always be giving them the news that's A, true, but B, that's actually worth listening to and reading, watching. It's the news that they want them to absorb so that they might think things a certain way. That's the problem, right? So I hope people realize, at least from this, you should always do your own research on everything that's going on, because the American people deserve, I think, a lot better than what they've gotten from our media, from our politicians, from every major institution that we have. And they should show them that they know better and that you cannot trick them or convince them of anything based on how you report it, but simply based on the facts. That's what matters. So I hope we have answers when it comes to Tim Walz. I'm certainly concerned about it. But more than anything, I want people to understand how their media can kind of make them feel a certain way about different stories, because it's a serious problem, and it's one I would not have noticed if Donald Trump didn't run for office, right?
I think that's a great analogy, Elizabeth Pipko. It's Russia, Russia, Russia all the time. Specifically, Chairman Comer pointed to a non-classified chat that the Department of Homeland Security employees used on Microsoft Teams titled NST-NFT Biweekly Sync that he said contains relevant information regarding Walz and China and the Chinese Communist Party, in addition to further classified and unclassified documents in control of the Department of Homeland Security. Nation State Threat National Functional Team is what those acronyms stand for. And Comer didn't go into details, but said the information came through a whistleblower because Walz was teaching in China back in the 1980s, and he's been back there a bunch of times. And so, yeah, all that stuff needs to come out, because obviously China is a threat. No question about it. Let's talk about J.D. Vance and tomorrow night's debate. I think J.D. Vance is going to do very, very well. Tim Walz, to me, comes across like a giant goofball. I mean, I thought Saturday Night Live did a good job portraying him this weekend, actually, as being like a giant goofball. And I think J.D.'s very sharp. He's a good debater. I mean, he's a solid debater. And yeah, Tim Walz is going to go after him about his past statements about Donald Trump. But look, people change, right, Elizabeth?
They certainly do. And I mean, obviously, Tim Walz is going to do that. But as I think your audience has seen, he won't be the first person to do that. So I think J.D. Vance is certainly prepared on that. He has answered that question many, many times. And I do think he's a brilliant debater and I think should dominate, honestly, tomorrow. I look forward to these kind of things because, like I said, back on the media, everything we see about these politicians is like a weird caricature of them based on what different, you know, media outlets want us to think. I love when the American people just get to look at the politicians for themselves, get to hear them speaking themselves and get, you know, a direct comparison between one candidate and the other. I look forward to hopefully a good debate because, again, this is the kind of transparency that the people of this country should be asking for more of. So I'm excited, but I genuinely do expect J.D. to dominate.
I want to play a quick clip for you. There was an incident in Pittsburgh at this Premani Brothers place where they didn't want him in there because of the security and logistics. I thought J.D. Vance handled this with absolute class. I was really impressed by what he said here after his team was kind of asked to leave the restaurant, as I understand it anyway. This is what he said, cut number four.
We paid for everybody's food. We gave a nice tip. And, of course, when I gave a nice tip, I said, no taxes on tip. It's all right. Don't hold it against her. She just got a little nervous, but it's a great local business. Let's keep on supporting it. And most importantly, November 5th or before, go vote. Let's go win this thing.
Let's go. Yes.
Class act, Elizabeth Pipko. Class act.
100%. People keep asking me about this, what I think about, you know, the actual restaurant and everything else. And for me, it's just exactly what you said. Look at how J.D. Vance responded. That's what matters here. I'm not going to criticize the staff or anything else. I wasn't there. I don't know what happened. But I think his response should tell the American people a lot more about his character than anything that they may have heard of him until this point. So I appreciated it. And I think even those that disagree with him should probably appreciate that kind of response on the campaign trail for all of us who've had a very difficult time with American politics these last, 8 years or so.
Look, can we talk about Israel for a moment? I mean, I know we're talking about what's potentially going on with Lebanon and ground operations. I mean, Joe Biden once again kind of gave a good people on both sides answer, unlike what, you know, the debunked lie about what Trump said, what he didn't say after Charlottesville, that lie that Democrats still perpetuate today. But Biden's been kind of saying that about Israel and Hamas, like, you know, there's good people on both sides here. What do you make of where everything stands right now? There's 97 hostages that are still being held by Hamas in Gaza.
Yeah, I mean, 97 hostages is obviously horrific, but I think for people in this country, I often hear, why is this our problem, right? This happened in Israel. This is far away. And people forget to talk about the fact that Americans not only are still being held hostage, but also were among the victims on October 7th last year. So you would think that not only would the United States of America always choose to stand with our ally against terrorism, they would want to stand with their own, because Hamas did not just attack Israel. Dozens of Americans were tortured and murdered on October 7th as well. Americans are still being held hostage right now, and I've asked myself many times if the response by the American people and the American government would have been different if those that were being held hostage were held anywhere else, right? If this didn't happen because they happen to be in Israel. I wonder if there's an anti-Semitic part to this, if this is some kind of new age anti-Zionism, which obviously we know is anti-Semitism. I just never in my life growing up in this country thought there'd be a chance that we'd have five Americans held for nearly a year now, right, still by a terrorist group, and people would not be up in arms every single day.
By the way, I got the I was awarded the Journalist of the Year award by the Philadelphia Zionist Organization of America chapter, which was a big honor recently for me. I thought that was really cool. And there were some great speeches that night. And while it's a nonpartisan event, you can definitely tell the vibe in the room of where people are leaning politically and that they understand Trump's, you know, steadfast support of Israel. And I heard over and over again the fact that the embassy was moved to Jerusalem and how much that meant to the people that support Israel. That was a consistent theme throughout the night, Elizabeth. I wanted to pass that along to you. Not to brag that I won the award, but I mean, a little bit to brag, but not a lot, you know, obviously. So.
Well, congratulations, first of all.
But you. Yeah,
I mean, I think people are starting to kind of realize that based on the Middle East alone, based on being a supporter of Israel, or even that, you should be able to understand what it means when a leader decides to appease your enemies versus a leader who shows strength to your enemies, scares them away from messing with you or messing with your ally. That's the difference between Kamala Harris and Donald Trump.
All right, I got to ask you about this. I'd be remiss. Newsweek, how hot girls became the right's new obsession. Now, let me say this in a way that doesn't sound creepy. I don't want to sound like creepy. This is awkward, but you are a model, and models are beautiful. And I heard from a friend that in the picture we did together on Instagram, it was the highest Instagram post I've ever done, ever. And people were like, who is that beauty next to that beast? And it's very obvious that is a Beauty and the Beast situation. But is it okay? Are we at a point now where we can celebrate women's beauty again? And we can say, hey, Elizabeth Pipko, you're beautiful. And you're not going to be offended by that because we understand that women, femininity, these are good things that we can celebrate.
I mean, I've always thought that you could celebrate that. I think the article, for those that haven't read it, hopefully many of you, was very strange. It was a Newsweek article about how people on the right apparently appreciate women with good looks, and that's why they get to where they are, which I think is pretty insulting, actually. But I think it's strange that there were experts apparently interviewed on this topic as if it's something new in our society that people may like attractive people or that conservative men may like attractive women. It was very strange. I'm not sure what the point was. I was flattered that I was in it. But I think we have some more pressing issues going on in our country and around the world than wondering why men like attractive women.
It was one of the dopiest articles I've ever read. I'm actually going to make fun of it a lot in the next hour. But I had to ask you about it since you were in it. But they really do. They bring out all these psychologists to analyze. And I do think it was demeaning to women. I really do. It was basically saying, like, well, if you're successful and you're beautiful, you're only there because you're beautiful. Like, it's nothing else. Like, you're not smart, Elizabeth. You're not a writer. You didn't write a book. You're not a great spokeswoman. It's literally only your looks, and that's it. And to me, I find that to be incredibly demeaning. And I notice how the left does that a lot. And I think the reason why is because they're jealous, because let's face it, they got a lot of ugly women on the left. I'm sorry, I got to say it. It's the truth. It is what it is.
It was just strange to me. And I think I said it in one of the quotes that I gave them. They asked me to respond to some expert who said some pretty insulting things about me and some other women. And I just said, I'm pretty sure that your hatred for those that vote differently than you may have gotten you a little confused on what it means to be a feminist. Because I don't think anyone that identifies as a feminist would have written something like that or spoken that way about other women just because they vote differently from them, right? So I don't understand it. I think it's humorous that we have experts on the topic of beautiful people. But whatever pays the bills, right?
And how Trump supporters like beautiful women. It's amazing stuff. All right, Elizabeth, thank you for your time today, my friend. I appreciate it. I look forward to seeing you soon. Follow Elizabeth on X at Elizabeth Pipko, the spokeswoman for the Republican National Committee. Thank you for being our guest today. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Talk soon.
Talk soon.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Yeah, it was a stupid article. It was pretty dumb. And one of my favorite parts about this is they get into even the Hoctua girl in this article. I didn't know the Hoctua girl is a conservative. I would not have ever thought that. But she apparently had a red, white, and blue hat. So they were like, oh, there she is. And they posted a picture of Elizabeth wearing a USA shirt and Happy Birthday, America, I love you. But one of the things is that they go into the article and they talk about basically they bring up the very attractive U.S. Representative Ana Paulina Luna, who has posted pictures of herself in bikinis before and said, yes, I'm a woman. Look, I'm a woman. But then they write, what's behind the hot girl obsession? A focus on the conservative hot girl. This is Newsweek. Comes at a time when the political gender divide in America is wider than ever. And they try to make it seem like, I guess, I don't know, they write, quote, by having hot women as their icons, multiple messages are sent that if you align yourself with the movement, you'll be able to hang in the company of these gorgeous young things, that the movement attracts attractive people, and it's not just old white men. Now, I don't think anybody thinks to themselves that if I join the MAGA movement, I'm going to have a chance with like Elizabeth Pipko. I mean, if you think that, you're crazy, like you're a crazy person. I don't know what else to tell you, but the University of Delaware academic added, the hot girl is the opposite of the childless cat lady being invoked by leaders like J.D. Vance. These two competing images of womanhood arising in conservative rhetoric are two sides of the same coin. And they say a lot about what conservatives value about women. They brought a University of Delaware academic to talk about this. And of course, once again, they got into abortion because the left cannot help themselves with this. by writing, they pointed to the fact that the reification of the hot girl is coinciding with the erosion of women's reproductive rights, and that this points to a regressive tendency to prioritize men's sexual gratification over women's agency. I don't even know what the hell that means. That could have been written in Mandarin Chinese for all I know, because I don't even know if that's English. The academic went on to say that women involved in this movement, who actually readily align themselves with right-wing populism, oftentimes represent a profound interest in traditional gender norms and an explicit rejection of feminist politics. I don't even know what the hell that means either, except some of them think that it's okay to be a woman and to say that they're women. But I also think it goes to another point, too. They're just jealous. They're jealous because a lot of the women with the pink hair, who tend to be a little portly, just saying, with the pink hats and the pink hair, tend to be voting for Harris in this election. I'm just saying. I'm pointing it out. I'm saying the quiet part out loud here. You know it, and I know it. Little chubby, hairy, and pink hair, and they're voting Harris. Call it like it is. All right, I'm here to call it like it is. That's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. And they're jealous, and now they're trying to make it out to be like, oh, since the right has all these beautiful women, they're anti-feminist or some nonsense. I don't even know. It makes no sense. It really doesn't. It makes no sense. But I do know one thing, though, and that is that our side has the most beautiful women by far, including Susie Kuhl and her sister and her friends who posted on social media for her 60th birthday. So happy birthday. Yeah, Sydney Sweeney, who's an actress who was referenced in the article, got called out last year because she posted a picture with her parents who were wearing hats that said "Make 60 Great Again." And she went on SNL, and I guess she's well endowed and she showed that off. And she's got all these followers on Instagram. I think what it comes down to is the left is bitter that beautiful women are being celebrated for being women when they want to put dudes on the cover of Sports Illustrated. That's another factor in this, don't you think? Like DeSantis, if they had it their way, the whole Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition would be all dudes and a bunch of pink-haired, portly types, if you know what I mean.
I mean, I don't know anything about marketing, but I'm going to guess that combination isn't going to result in a whole lot of sales.
Exactly, which is why it was a disaster for them. And the left hates it. We're like, oh, beautiful women, and we're celebrating beautiful women. But I got to take a break. So let me tell you, though, you're going to see some beauties at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, if you join us there, coming up on our show on October 11th. It's going to be a lot of fun. And the Grand Hotel is a wonderful place to be. You want to make your reservation now. Oh, I love it there. It's my happy place for a reason. You'll see it when you join us for our live show coming up on October 11th. And here's the best part about the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. You have your own your own getaway code to use anytime you like. It's my name, Zioli, and you will save 25% off your midweek stay. No minimum required. Just go to GrandHotelCapeMay.com. GrandHotelCapeMay.com. And this is a wonderful time to go because October is beautiful, and you can also stay longer. You can get resort credits. There's all kinds of different ways for you to maximize your savings and have an incredible time at my happy place, the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. So just go to GrandHotelCapeMay.com or call them at 800-257-8550, 800-257-8550, and make your reservation today. And join us on October 11th. You'll love the Grand Hotel with a heated indoor pool, arcade room for the kids, restaurant on site with outstanding breakfast, lunch, and dinner, great cocktails. The Grand really, truly is a wonderful place to be for a week, for a weekend, romantic getaway, family getaway, you name it. The Grand Hotel of Cape May, GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
The Rich Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about this?
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, room? Just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
Shop Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This is Jean Marie Laskus with the podcast Cement City. So there's this election coming up, a big one, and one guy's been indicted. People are talking voter fraud. Democracy itself is on the line. Sound familiar? Well, this isn't that election. This one is in Denora, Pennsylvania, a dying town in the middle of nowhere, where I bought a house and stayed for 3 years. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.